Welcome to Only Believe Ministries in Canton, Ohio. Speaking of my dad real quick, he wanted to let everybody know that they miss you guys, they love you guys, and it's warm where they're at. That was literally the third thing that he told me. Hey, it's warm. Thanks. And he said, be ready for great things of God. The great things God is going to do today in this service, it's going to be powerful, and they'll see us all when they come back. He said see you soon, but they got like 2 weeks, so. But anyway, so they're in vacation, obviously, and Sister Nicole Waters is going to be here to teach the Word of God. It's going to be a good, powerful morning. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to go ahead and get started. So, Father God, I just thank you for the service this morning, Lord God. I thank you for ushering your presence, Lord God, and lead us in the direction you want us to go today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, stand your feet with us this morning.
You take what the enemy meant for evil,
victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Come on, this morning we're going to sing, yes, Lord. We're going to choose this morning to praise. We're going to choose this morning to be happy. We're going to choose this morning to have the joy of the Lord in our hearts today, no matter the circumstance. Count on one thing, that the same God who never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God is never late. He's working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy.
Yes, I will bless your name. God gave me scripture. And today he says, today's the day to read it. It's an encouragement to my people. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. What he's saying, in the proper time, and in the right time, and in due season, we shall reap.
It's all you are. Will you meet me here again? you're feeling that he's gone, maybe it's you that has moved. Today is the day to press in. Press in this morning. He's never forsaking you. He loves you so much that if he just was for you, he would have still died on that cross that day on Calvary.
Every season, your grace.
I have them printed out because we all know how wonderfully they were last time. So every Wednesday at 5 p.m., there's intercessory prayer. And I think it's right here. If you have any questions, see Mona. Mona Kearns. Is she here today? Oh, there she is. Sorry. Steve's head's in the way. So also, greeters are needed. So if you would like to join the amazing group of people that greet, please see Jamie and Marie Miller right there in the front. The next new members class is going to be July 13th from 9 a.m. to 12. The class is going to meet in the teen room. Please sign up on the table outside the door. If you were looking for it, I just put it out there this morning. So if you're looking to be a new member, make sure you sign up. And then Mark Dunphy will be here in May. We'll have details coming soon, so just be ready for that when it comes. So I'm going to do the offering. And real quick, the scripture that was read this morning, one of my favorite parts of it is when it says, "In due season you shall reap." But the thing that always got me was the "if you faint not" part. And coming with an understanding, so Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray always with all prayer." I forgot to release the kids. Kids, I'm sorry. You can go, though. All right. So Ephesians 6:18. It says, "Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And when I read that, and I think of the in due season you shall reap if you faint not, and I bring them together and I come to the realization that when we give, whether it's your tithe or whether it's offering, whether it's a seed offering, you're supposed to add prayer with it. Pray and thank God that he rebuked the devourer on your behalf when you tithe. Pray that God's going to bring to pass whatever it is that you're putting seed money for, whatever your offering is intended to be using your faith for. You have to remain, you have to have a constant, active prayer life about it. You may have to fast about it, but you just can't sit down and wait on it. Amen. Nothing happens when you just sit there, right? You have to actively be working towards the goal, and God will make up the difference. So it was short, sweet, and to the point, but that's just what I wanted to bring this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get the buckets out. Father God, I just thank you for this offering. I thank you for the people that are bringing it up, Lord God, that are giving, Lord God. I thank you that they're actively giving, Lord God, that they're actively adding their faith with it, Lord God, and they're trusting you to bring to pass whatever it is that they're believing for. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So without taking up any more time, we're going to go ahead and let Sister Nicole come up here.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. So, Philip was a little taken back by the video this morning. He's like, where did that come from? And I'm like, I did that. He's like, oh, okay. He's like, who just hijacked the video screen back there? He thought the sound guy got all crazy on him today. Anyways, I played that song during the offering because it had to do with the message that I'm going to preach today. And I think that though it was a great lyric, for those of you that don't know, Danny Gokey didn't come up with Love God and Love People. That was written in the Bible a long time ago. He just stole it. All right? So though we'd like to say it's innovative, yeah, the music's great, but the word was already written before. So with it being Valentine's Day last week, our church back at the main house is on a love series, and I couldn't think of a better thing right now in this season of life's uncertainties, turmoil, and things that are happening all around us. We're seeing brother pitched against brother, families divided literally because there's different opinions in the house, right? I know husbands and wives that are struggling to get through because they don't see eye to eye about these things. Pastor Philip and Regina are in Aruba this week. We were all supposed to go together, and I got to be honest with you, I'm a little envious today that they're there and I'm not. I'm losing my tan and they're just getting theirs on, but that's all right. They're going to look beautiful when they come back and they're going to be rested. But I told my husband before we went, I said, now listen, I'm just going to be real with you. If you're not going to wear a mask and just shut up, then I ain't going with you. Because if everywhere we go, this is going to be a fight. This is stressful for me. And he said, oh my gosh, fine, I'll give up. And so he did, but only because he was trying to honor his wife to say, I'm just going to lay this down so that we can have a good time. Love sometimes demands that we lay something down. Amen? So today I'm just going to be talking simply about love. And I think though it's a very simple topic, it often becomes a very hard one to live and walk out. So this is what we say in today's culture in vernacular. Oh, I just love that coffee. By the way, thank you, Mr. Crabtree, for bringing my coffee this morning. That is why I had to run to the bathroom for the offering, because I didn't have a small, I had a large. Just like everybody. to know that. So if this message is cut short, you'll know that my bladder's full again. We say things like, I love my classic car. We say things like, I love to shop. I love those superhero movies. For all of you men out there that like superhero, that's my husband. The word love is thrown around effortlessly. Just literally. And for how many of you were at the marriage seminar here in Kenton? Okay, so I promise you I feel like that lady stole part of my message because this was mine written down before she stated it. But obviously, we're thinking the same thing, is that we say I love you for so many different things when the kind of love that I'm going to be talking about is has nothing to do with your coffee, your classic car shopping, or your movies. Because the truth of the matter is that I'm addicted to coffee. I enjoy what my classic car makes me feel like when I'm riding in it on a hot summer day. I like the comfort that shopping brings me because I feel good about myself when I spend money. No, I'm just telling you straight up. Listen, there are some of us that need shopping retail. And when COVID came and they said they were going to shut down the aisles of Walmart except the food, I about passed out. I got to get to that section over there. If not, just the office supplies. The point of it is that all the things I just mentioned are conducive to me. They're for me, and they do something to me. That's not the kind of love we're talking about. The kind of love we're talking about is a sacrificial love. So let's get real. Coffee doesn't talk back. My classic car doesn't stab me in the back. No, I'm going to preach right down your aisle today. Because shopping doesn't take advantage of me. Oh, wait. Some of you men, it's about to because Easter's coming up. And all your children are going to get dressed alike in their matching outfits. So, yeah, it is going to take advantage of your wallet. The point is that the love that Christ shows for us is not a selfish love. In fact, it's 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5 says that in the last days, how many of you believe we're getting ready to come into the last days? That they, the world, will become lovers of themselves, lovers of their coffee. And I'm using this in a very simple sense because I'm trying to drive something home to you. That the kind of love that you and I are falling prey to is the kind of love that only gives something back. It's a give and take, right? Marriage is 50-50. No, it ain't. No, whoever told you that lied. They lied. That's not what marriage is. Marriage is 50-50 on a good day. On a bad day, it's 100-0. You hear me? When your spouse is sick with something terminal, it's 100% and zero. When someone can't give anything back, that's when you know you're walking in love. Well, you just don't understand. I just can't love someone that just doesn't do this, this, and this, and this for me because you're dealing with a selfish love and you're not loving like Christ loved you. So let's look at this love and what it looks like. 1 John 4:9-10, and I'm just going to tell you that today I'm going to be reading from the NIV. Don't all get in a wad. Here's why I'm doing it. I didn't tear words apart from the NIV. I didn't go back to the Greek, the Hebrew, and all that from the NIV because I understand that it's a broke down version. It's a watered down version. It's a different thing. But I'm doing it because it's an easy read. And I want you to truly understand what the love of God is. And some of those words get a little large and then you break them down anyways. So here's what it says. It says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son, Jesus, into the world that we might live through him. This is love." "Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as atonement and sacrifice for our sin." This is a selfless love. A sacrificial love, an agape love. There's multiple loves in the Bible, but the one that Christ expects you to have present in your life with your brothers and sisters and with the rest of the world and towards him is a sacrificial love. That means nothing in return. In case nobody told you that, I'm telling you today, now you'll know. You get nothing in return. It expects nothing, but it gives everything. Everything. So listen to what the definition of love. An emotion that's felt, right? We can all deal with that. We know that emotion when you love something. Although I question, some of us have such affection for things that are other than humans. How many of you love your pet? Hear me out. I got a pet that just had a stroke. And I'm, oh my gosh, my heart is broke. Like I really think I love this animal. But let me give you what it says. An emotion that I feel, but actions performed by someone concerned for the well-being of another person. An unconditional and self-sacrificial love. See, when you love something or someone, you will be compelled or moved to do something. Moved. So when you see them hurt, what do? You respond. When you see that they need something that you have the ability to provide, you provide. Because love is a motivator. Love motivates us to do things. Say, love is a motivator. Okay. Let's talk about a husband and wife. And for those of you that are not married, I just can't help but it's so close to Valentine's Day. And so I wanted to remind you of these things. So I feel bad if I'm leaving the single folk out, but I need you to understand that when you love something, I want those of you that are married to go back to your dating days. Listen, I had a husband that would literally cut wood all day long on a day that was not our date because we were only allowed to have one date a weekend for 4 hours, and that was it. My dad cut it off. Okay, you had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There was Friday for friends, Saturday for boyfriend, and Sunday for family. And if those three were out of balance, then he was going to take the boyfriend away so that it could get back in balance. So we looked for ways to get him incorporated to the family day and into the friend day, because if we went out as a group, I could get to see him 4 hours more, right? Well, he would cut wood all day long on the friend day. And then drop the wood off for just 15 minutes to see me. Hey, pastor, you need some wood cut? Dad's like, of course I do, Randy. He said, okay, I'll be over Saturday to bring that by. Just so he could see me for 15 minutes. It was crazy. Who does that? Someone who's in love with someone and something. You've all done crazy things for what you love. It's me, believe it or not. I'm just not going to tell you what we've invested in this dog, what we've invested in a cat that had a urinary tract infection who couldn't go pee. Now the cat gets urinary tract infection food every single day. It's $1.28 a can. He eats 3 cans a day. I'm like, something's wrong with you, cat. But he's 13 years old. I don't have the heart to just, you know, I love him. And my kids love him. And I'm like, cat. What we don't do, because it motivates me, it compels me to do something for this cat that he can't do for himself, and I just want him to live longer so that my family is happy because I love what they love. It compels me to do something. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. It compelled God to do something. He didn't just watch the world die. He sent something, put something in motion to save it, to save you and I. Jesus was compelled to go to the cross. For what? For me and for you. But it doesn't stop. See, we think it stops when he went to the cross for you and I. But the return is now because he loved us, we are compelled to love what he loved. 1 John 1:4 says that we love him because he first loved us. So let's, all of us, well, you can read it on the screen because I know some of you don't have the NIV. It's 2 Corinthians 5:14-15. And I want to turn there today because I want to read this next scripture to you. It says, "For Christ's love compels us." It's a motivator. "Because we are convinced that one died," that means Jesus, "for all. Therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live," hear me out, "should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Yet proof that because Christ loved us, in return, we love him." And when you love something or someone, you begin to do what they want you to do. See, when we accepted Christ's love and we begin to walk out this life for him, we should begin to shed that old way of loving, that old selfish way, the self that says, when I get something from you, then I'll love you. That should be changing. In fact, if we look at our love level and we can see that we haven't changed, then I would ask you, are you really growing in Christ? Because if this was his first movement towards us, why would that not be our first movement back to him and to all of our brothers and sisters and to the world? But I can tell you that we've been challenged. We've been challenged. And if I could take inventory of the church through the last season, and I'm looking at myself, I would say that I've probably not passed the love test. I've probably come up with a whole bunch of selfish ideas, a whole bunch of ideologies that I don't want to accept that don't line up with what I think. But see, God's love doesn't care what you think. God's love compels you to do the word no matter what you think. And that's not often where we get it. See, it's easy to say that you love something. It's another thing to prove that you love it. And so I think a whole lot of us are caught up in, oh, I love that. Yeah. No, I love like Christ. Yeah, when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, when everybody's watching, when you're being held accountable. But when we're not being and we're not being seen, then do we really love? Because I'm here to tell you that all of these people that watch what you and I do are not going to be with us on Judgment Day. And God's going to replay a video of your life. And when he does, I would hope that he's going to find the truth. Because I'm telling you, what you will do in secret will be brought to the light. And what you do in public, ain't nobody going to care. I'm just telling you, and I'm preaching to the choir real sincerely. But Danny Gokey said it best when he said, this is simple. This is simple. Love God and love people. Bring it all back down. Take all of this and bring it right back down to ground zero. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. So how do I do that? How do I do that when I don't agree? How do I do that when I know that they're going to hell and they just need to know that? Sometimes people don't need you to argue the gospel. They don't need you to tell them how much you know about the Bible. You need to tell them about who you know. Let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. Not that, it's really been hard to tell you this, but I just need to tell you, you're wrong. You're wrong, and I'm going to tell you why God says you're wrong. They don't care. They don't love what you love. So they don't care what God says yet. Do you understand? They're lost. There's a reason they're lost. They don't understand. But love shows the way. We're so concerned that love means acceptance, we just can't stand to get dirty standing by sin. Well, in case you didn't know, Jesus ate with the sinners, hung out with them. And I got to be honest with you, when I looked at this message and I looked at my phone, which is on the front row, I only had 3 or 4 non-Christians in my phone. I got to take up some type of class. I got to start a Pinterest group. I got to do something where non-Christians show up in my life and I have a reason to share the gospel. Because I work with Christians, I preach with Christians, I sing with Christians, I play with Christians, I vacation with Christians, my kids play sports with Christians. Comes a time that I got to get out of the Christian box and do something outside of myself and begin to win the world. People think, oh, I would just love to work at a church. Yeah, well, have fun trying to witness to those people. They know Jesus. They don't need him right now. God says in the Bible that if you love me, if you love me, then you will keep my commandments, okay? This is why every pastor at Only Believe Ministries, I'll say that, is suggesting and encouraging you to read the Bible. Read the Bible. I don't care if you read one verse a day. If you don't read it, you won't know who God is. If you don't know who he is, then you can't live out who he is. You think we just stand up here and tell you a bunch of do's and don'ts. No, we really know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And we really want you to walk in that fullness. But if all you do is hear and you never do what is asked, you will never receive the fullness of the cross. You will stop at the repentance of the cross. And you'll receive forgiveness and you might walk your way into heaven, but you might not. But when you accept all of the cross, all, love didn't stop at repentance. Love was the beginning. That repentance was the beginning of your transformation. The beginning. See, because when you love something or someone, whatever makes Jesus' heartbeat, and I point over here because there's a cross at OBM Maine in the right-hand side. Yours is in the foyer. When you look at the cross and you love what Jesus and God loved, whatever made his heartbeat will make yours beat. Whenever you're walking past something and you stop and you turn and you look because the Holy Spirit said, that's important to me. That's what matters. That's when you're proving that you love God. But when you walk by what is lost and what needs something from you and you have the ability to give it and you do not, that breaks God's heart. It means you're less like him than you've ever been. We've got to become sensitive to what he is and who he is. But the problem is that we don't really believe in God's love for us at the level that we can receive and give it back out. See, there's a part of fear that's still involved with us. There's still a part of, well, if I love unconditionally, then those people are going to hurt me. They're going to reject me. They're going to say this about me. They're going to do, you know what? Who cares? Jesus didn't go to the cross in fear of what was going to happen to him. He went to the cross knowing that his Father would make it right. It didn't matter what man could do to Jesus. Because he loved you so much, it compelled him to look. The world says he looked like an idiot. The world says, what man would lay down their life for a kingdom you're not even building here on earth? Nothing happened the way the disciples thought it was going to unfold. Yet Jesus still went to the cross for you and I, no matter how they thought he looked, right? Colossians 2, 6, 7, and 8. It says, just as you have received Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue. Once you're saved, you need to continue in the ways of the Lord, rooted and built up in him. Notice that said, in him, not yourself. In the faith,